So for the most part, our application is feature complete. We need to address some layout issues and make it look a little nicer, and then I'll hand it over to you and you can run with it and add more functionality to it. But what I want to do before we get to that point is add one more cool feature, and I want to show you how to add live tiles to your application, so tiles that will update based on content from your application. And we're going to go through two scenarios. First of all, we're going to change the content of the tile on demand, which means my program is going to actively push data into that tile. And then secondly, we're going to schedule a periodic notification and give it some source online to pull data from to present to the user. There's a lot to this, and I'm only going to show you like one easy scenario through this content, but hopefully once you have that and once you kind of know where to look in the documentation, you can really branch off from there and add some rich functionality to the start menu for the phone and the start menu for the desktop. Okay, so as you can see here in the lower left-hand corner of my screen, I have a new application I've built called Tile Update Manager Example, another what I call Scratchpad application. This was used for me to learn this technique and these APIs, and now that I understand them, I can apply them to my main application. So there's actually two features of this application as I run it. The first scenario that I'm going to demonstrate is how to actively push new content into a live tile programmatically, but I will have to force it programmatically through code. Whereas the other, I'm going to schedule notification and just say, hey, every half hour, go out and you'll find the data you need way out here on this web service. And we're going to build a web service that demonstrates that. Okay. So now that I have the application up and running, what I want to do is actually go to all programs and find this in the list of apps. And once I do, I'm going to right click and select pin to start. And now I have the icon, the live tile with the default icon for this project type on my start screen. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is just type in something like hello world, real simple, and click change tile content. And the next time I go to the start page, watch that icon. It flips and it has the content there that I just added. Very cool. How about if I do this again? Hello periodic updates. So we'll just type in hello periodic because there's not a lot of room on that tile. And then go here and it's going to flip one more time and it changes to hello periodic. Okay. So let's talk about how I was able to programmatically force the message to change. This is going to uncover a few important concepts before we move on to the more advanced scenario. So here we have a tile update manager class as part of windows.ui.notifications namespace. So you'll need to add that in your using statement at the top of the file. And then the first thing we're going to do is get a template, get the content of a template. And there are a number of enumerations in this tile template type in enum. And you can see I can just scroll through all of them, just a bunch of them. And you find a laundry list of them at this URL that I have on screen right now. So I'm actually going to open up that page to, okay, here we go. Let's get back there. The tile template catalog. And so now if I look through this page, you can see that there is the enumeration, in this case, tile square 150 by 150 image, and how it's going to look in both the Windows desktop and the Windows phone for the start menus for each of those. And for the most part, they're going to seem very similar. There might be some small layout changes to accommodate the rest of the, how the menus typically lay out that content, okay? And again, there are just a bunch of these. Now, once you find one that kind of works for your scenario, let's say this one right here, tile square 150 by 150 text 4. I'm going to click on that, and it's going to take me down deeper into the page for a more descriptive explanation of what the tile template does and how you can modify its content. All right, and so you can see that this particular content will wrap your content. So you can give it a real long line of text and it's just going to wrap it. There are others that will give you, like in this case, four independent fields of information that you can fill in. So there are some subtle differences between each of the templates, but hopefully you can see where you can find that information. Here's the XML that we would actually be working with. And let's go ahead and take a look at what the tile square 150 by 150 text 01 and see what it looks like here. So I'm gonna go back up to the top and hit Control F on my keyboard, paste that in. And you can find, okay, so this is the one that we're working with. So I'll click on it and you can see that here is the here's the template that we're working with. Actually, this is the template we're working with, okay? And so just keep that XML in mind, because what we're going to do next is manipulate that XML in the next two lines of code. We're going to find an element with the name text, and then we're going to add a child to that first element with whatever I typed into that text block. All right, so we're going to create a text node in our template and then append it as a child to the text. So if we take a look at the template again, we're going to find the first occurrence of the text element, and we're going to add a child to that element, and we're going to fill in this text right here with whatever we typed in. And then after we've done that, then we're going to add that new XML to a new tile notification object and tell the tile update manager to go update our application's tile with this new tile that we basically borrowed a template and modified its values. Okay, so that's the basic course of events here in five lines of code. Very simple. But what we want to do next is actually another step forward with this idea. And here what I'm doing in the next button click event is to tell the tile update manager that instead of me giving you explicitly the data that I want you to force into that tile, I'm going to say, hey, why don't you just update it every half hour with this URL that I'm going to give you. So now we need to go out, we need to create a web service that will return something like this, some XML like this, every time that it's called. So I have another project. It is an ASP.NET MVC 5 application. It has a single controller, and the home controller just returns a single view. So let's open up the index.css.html, and inside here, all that it does is just takes whatever the current time is and two strings it, and will display it to the end user. So you can see we're using a different template, the tile square 150 by 150 text 04. Basically, I went out to this template catalog. I grabbed the actual XML that is necessary for text 04. So this one right here. And I said, hey, let's right here, I'm going to replace this and just use this and put the current date time here. So now that I've created this and I've deployed it out to Azure, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to drag this over, I'm going to right click and say, whoops, you can't see it, but it's off screen, but I'm going to choose the publish option, and I'm actually going to publish this out to my Azure account. Okay, and if I click on this, or here, let me just actually open up in another window over here, so let me open it up. It will display this. So I'm at periodic.azurewebsites.net. This may not be available at the time when you watch this video. I might take this down because, well, it costs me money every time somebody hits it. And let's view the source for this. And you can see that I get that template, and inside of the text element is the date and the time. Okay, so that's a pretty cool tactic. Let's go ahead and get rid of that. Now that we've built our notification service, let's go ahead and pop open Tile Update Manager. And here we're basically saying, here's the tile content, here's the requested interval. I would prefer if you update every half hour. Now you're gonna notice that it does not happen exactly at 30 minutes. If we were to pause the video and come back to this in 32 minutes, 35, 37 minutes, it would probably update roughly in that period of time. So this is a requested interval. Now we're gonna say, hey, Tile Update Manager, why don't we update the Tile4r application with a periodic update. Now, to learn more about periodic updates, take a look at this URL, and this will explain a little bit more about how, will explain how periodic updates work, and the polling sequence and what's going on behind the scenes. So I would recommend, for more information, read that page, bit.do/periodic. And here we're just going to give it the URI and how often we want it to update, and it should go off and update itself. So now let's run the application again and see this working. And I'm going to go ahead and click schedule notification, and nothing happens. That's good. That's fine. Now let's open up the start menu, and with any luck, this will update itself. And it does. And you can see that the current date and time is listed there. Okay, very nice. Okay, so now what we're going to do is take these ideas and apply them to our application. So I'm going to shut everything else down that we don't need, and we're going to come back to UWP weather. I'll shut that down too. And what I think we'll do is every time that we go off and grab the weather, we'll go off and we'll say, hey, for the current position where the user is at, let's go ahead and schedule an update using the last known position of the device. So we're not going to update it wherever you are. So if you're like on a long road trip and you only look at your phone or the weather app once every 10 hours, then it may not be accurate. But if you were to pop open the weather app, then it will change the URL that we're going to point to. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. But there would be ways to modify this and to make it work in that scenario. I'm just being a little bit lazy here, and I want to show you a simple case. Okay, so to get started, what we're going to need to do is actually create a new project. So let me go over here to Visual Studio, pop open a new version, and I'm going to create an ASP.NET web application. We'll call this UWP weather service, maybe. I'm going to grab that name because I'm going to want that in just a moment, and click OK. All right, and here I want to use an empty, and I'm using the old version. By the time you watch this video, ASP.NET 5 might be out, but I'm going to use, it doesn't really matter. That's not really the focal point of this series of lessons. But I'm going to use the empty template, but add core references for MVC, and I'm going to make sure that we're going to host in the cloud as a web app. And now it's going to want me to log in. I'm going to use one of my accounts, and it wants me to re-enter my credentials. All right, it looks like we're ready to go. I'm going to name this the same thing that I named the Visual Studio project. So we'll be able to get to this at uwpweatherservice.azurewebsites.net. I'm going to select one of my plans, and I'm going to select one of my app service plans. Resource group region, and it will be set up for me automatically by the service plan I select, and then I'm not going to select a database. And we're going to go ahead and create it. This should set up the published credentials for the project as well as the project template itself for the MVC application. Now, even if you don't know ASP.NET MVC, this is going to be a really simple process here, so don't feel intimidated. Just follow along, and you'll get the idea how to do this. Right now, it's going out to Azure and reserving that name, setting up the account. So you can see that's where this overall status bar is. All right, great. So now we're ready out online and locally, so we're ready to get going. The first thing I want to do is add a controller. So I'm going to right-click and select add a controller, and this will be an empty MVC5 controller called home controller. And honestly, to begin with, we're not going to do anything with this. We're just going to leave it alone. We'll come back to it in just a moment. But I am going to add a view for this controller. Unfortunately, here, let me see if I can. There we go. There we go. Add view. And I'm going to make sure to not make this a partial view. And I do not want a layout page. I just want an empty without model template with a view named of index, and click add. Now what I'm going to do is just rip out everything in the index.cshtml page, and what I want to do is actually I want to come back over here to my template catalog, and I want to find the template 01 right here. Okay, so this is what I'm going to grab from the very first, or maybe not the first, but it's the tile square 150 by 150 text 01 template. And so I've copied that and I'm going to paste it here. And what I want to do is actually replace all of this stuff. And I'm going to replace it a couple different ways in MVC to do this. There's the right way and then there's the cheap and easy way, and I'm going to use the cheap and easy way. Okay, so I'm going to create a couple of view bag values and just pass data from the controller into the view using a view bag. If you wanted this to be a real app, I would recommend, you know, creating a view model, but we're not going to go through all that right now. Bag.name, whoops. So the first thing we'll display is the temperature, then we'll display the description of what's going on. So is it light mist, is it sunny, you know, that sort of thing. And then the name, so that'll be the area or the town that you're currently in. And then finally, we'll just show the date time dot now dot to short time string. Okay. So we can see when it was last updated. Great. Then inside of the home controller, what I'm going to need to do is populate those values. And so what we're going to do here is, like for example, viewbag.name equals and then whatever. Okay. And we're going to grab that data as it's passed in through the query string. So in MVC, I can just add two input parameters with the names of the query string parameters that I expect. And then it will parse that out of the query string and pass them into the input parameter for the index action result method. So here we go, string lat, string lon for longitude. And I'm going to need to do some validation or some trimming of that latitude and longitude. I know that to be a fact from future or from previous previous attempts at doing this. Sometimes the phone's GPS will pass in just this really, really long value after the decimal point, and we need to trim that down in order to get this to work. But once we have those values, latitude and longitude, what we need to do is actually then run them by the openweathermap.org web service, and we're just going to call it from the web app as opposed to the individual phone, each individual device or desktop that it's running on. So what I want to do is add a new class here, and I'm going to call this openweathermapproxy, and you can probably guess where I'm going to go with this. It'll be identical to what we created in our UWP version. In fact, all I'm going to do is come down here to the Open Weather Map Proxy. I'm going to just pretty much copy everything here inside of that class or those classes inside of that file. And I'm going to come back over here and I think I can just reuse everything like that. I'm going to have to add a few namespaces. In fact, I know that I'm going to have to add, here, let's go to Tools, NuGet Package Manager, Manage NuGet Packages for the Solution. I know I'm going to need HTTP Client. So let's add that one. Yes, I accept. And I also know that I'm going to have to add a reference for the JSON, whatever that was again, the data contract JSON serializer. So I think I know where that's at. Let's go and right click on references and click add reference and then serialize. Yes. And that should be in the system.runtime.serialization namespace. So we're going to add a reference to that assembly. And I also know that we're going to need to add a using statement for system.threading.tasks. So let me add all my using statements here. Just a lot of setup work here just to get this going in the right direction. Yes, yes, yes. It's all coming together now. And I think this is system.io. Let's see. Yeah, that should take care of that. And let IntelliSense catch up. Here's some coding. Where did that come from? System.txt. Okay, that's fine. And then this comes from, yeah, system.runtime.serialization. All right, we should be in good shape now. Awesome. Let's, I just want to build this real quick just to see if we can build it or if there's any errors so far. Okay, great. Now, assuming that this is correct, yeah, that should work there. Home controller. Here's what I want to do. Let's set latitude equals to latitude dot. I want to trim off. All right, I just want to make sure that this is no larger than. Yeah, I'll use a substring. The second overload. I'll say, hey, you know, you can have 5 digits of precision total. And that should suffice. We could up that to 6, I think, without a problem, but. And this will just ensure that the latitude and the longitude are just not like these massively long numbers, okay, with values after the decimal point. All right, so once we have that, then we can call out to our open, I guess, models dot open weather map proxy dot get weather, and then we can pass in the latitude and the longitude. And I guess I need to take these strings and make them into doubles as well. Well, we'll do this, double dot parse. So I really need to test this a little bit more and make sure that all this is correct. We'll call this var latitude and var longitude. Kind of doing this off script and off the top of my head here, so hopefully this will work. Then we'll pass those values in. Okay. All right, and what does this return to us again? It's going to be a weightable. It's going to return to us a root object. So var weather equals a weight. All right, and remember the formula. If we have something that's a weightable, what we need to do is mark the method is async, and then what it's going to return will be a promise in the future to return a task of type action result. So that should work there. And we're probably missing a system.threading.tasks using statement. And now we're good to go. Okay, very good. All right, all of that to do this. Let's grab off the various parts that we get back from weather. So weather.name, that's easy enough. Viewbag.temp should equal weather.main.temp. And we want to make that, it's going to give us something that's going to have values after the decimal, so we want to cast that to an integer and then two string the whole thing. And then next we're going to go view bag dot description, and we'll go weather dot. And if you remember what we had to do here, there are many different weathers that come back, so we're going to have to grab the first item and then grab its description, and then finally let's grab, oh, we already know that the last one will be the date and the time. So that's all we should have to do right there. Let's build this, make sure this actually works. Okay, great. Now I want to run it locally just to make sure that it's going to work. And you can see that I get an error, but the error is because I did not supply a latitude and a longitude. So let's go lat equals, I think it was 32 point, and I'll just type in a bunch of numbers after the decimal, and longitude equals a negative 96 point, and I'll just type in a bunch of numbers like that and see what happens. All right. Some place called Seven Points. I have no idea where that, but the sky is clear there and it's 71 degrees at 10 a.m. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Okay, so we know that works. So what I'm going to do, stop it, and then I'm going to deploy it. So I'm going to right-click and select Publish, which you cannot see off to the upper right-hand corner of the screen. I want to validate the connection. It filled in these details when we set up the project originally a few moments ago, and then we can walk through all this, but there's really nothing there that demands our attention. Let's just go ahead and publish this out. The key is to remember that's called UWP Weather Service dot azurewebsites.net. So let me grab that real quick and copy that. Now what we're going to do is save that, minimize it, and then let's open up UWP Weather. And here what I want to do in the mainpage.xaml is schedule the update. So let's set the var uri equal to that with a latitude and a longitude and we'll want to go string.format that with whatever we pull back from here. So actually, let me do this. What is this? Should be doubles, right? So equals, we'll grab this. Next up, I'm going to pull whatever we did from my tile update manager example, because pretty much the rest of it's boilerplate, honestly. It's just going to be code I can grab right off here. So grab all of that. Close that down. Open this back up. Pop that in there. And then we're going to give this URI, and everything else should work. All right, now I'm going to, let's build this and make sure it does work, or builds at least. Okay, great. Now let's cross our fingers and run the app, see what happens. Now, before we get too far, let's find our weather app. UWP weather should be under U. There we go. Right click that and pin that to start. Okay, so all we get is a little box right now. That's fine. Let's go ahead and click get weather. I get the notification. Are you sure you want it to allow it to access location? Yes. And the reason is because I uninstalled it. Okay, so the good news here is that I get that it's 69 degrees, skies clear out in Plano. Now, the real key here is, will this update? And I would have expected it to update by now. So what I'm gonna do is actually debug this real quick. I wanna see the URL that's being created. Oh, you know what? The problem is not on the weather service, as I'm thinking through this. The problem is right there as I build the URL. Oh, that's an easy fix. Whew. Don't have to republish or anything. Let's run it now. Now let's do that. Here, I am going to just go ahead and step over it and grab the URI just to make sure that I can test this right. So copy that. And then let's continue on. All right, so we get that. Now let's go over here to our tile, and with any luck, it'll flip. Come on, flip. Yes! Sweet. Now the interesting thing is that it says that we're in Sachse as opposed to Plano, which are just neighboring towns, but I must be on the border or something along those lines. So that's an oddity, but whatever. I'm happy we got this far. Okay. So probably should have wrap some exception handling around that, but I'm pretty happy with it. Now we're just going to finish up with some finishing touches, and then we'll move on to the next challenge or the next app that we'll build together. So I'm pretty excited about this. Let's finish it up. Thank you.